You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Goldhawk Fights Back for You on AM 740 Zoomer Radio. Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740 Zoomer Radio.
And we welcome back Lori Campbell, the CEO of Credit Canada Debt Solutions. Hi, Lori.
Hey, how you doing, Dale?
Not so bad. I was just carrying on about the debt-to-income ratio again because it's so incredibly high, the 163%. And I just want your impression on what I hear as a sort of a supposedly mitigating factor. When you look at that 163%, a lot of people are saying, oh, well, a lot of that is your mortgage. And of course, the mortgage is connected to and represents an increase in assets when housing prices go up. I don't find that very comforting, though. Do you?
Oh, you know, it's a good point because I've been on this for a little while now. I don't find that comforting at all because I think that houses are inflated right now. Well, first of all,
and so then you got a really high mortgage and the price of the value of your house plummets. You know.
And we saw this in the early 90s. Oh, my gosh. I mean, how many people were going coming through our offices that were facing power of sale or, loss of their home in some way? And I worry about this because if interest rates climb, and they will eventually, that's one thing. But we also are seeing, for example, in September, that we had a dip in housing sales by 15%
yes.
in some of the major urban cities. Well, what follows that? Housing prices.
Of course.
Dip as well.
Well, when demand exceeds, or supply exceeds demand, the prices go down. Yeah, for
exactly.
sure.
Exactly. And then that can be a huge cause of bankruptcy because people, now we're talking, tens of thousands of dollars for a shortfall in a house that people just can't make up.
Well, and the other thing is, as the interest rates remain low and probably will for another year at least, isn't that going to also encourage more people to pile on the debt? You think, oh, man, the interest rates are low.
Exactly.
Now's the time.
Yeah, especially with these home equity loans. So we're talking about, so some of this is mortgage debt. We know but it's always been factored in there, so that's nothing new.
Yeah.
But people are piling on this home equity loans with the idea that interest rates are low, and I'll also do a renovation now, but not recognizing that they were not creating an asset at all in their home. And therefore, they're just accumulating unnecessary debt in some cases.
Now, when we talk about indebtedness and people in trouble, let's move to the very end of the trail and talk about the drastic action of actually declaring bankruptcy. And we talked about this with Doug Jones, who's a trustee in bankruptcy at BDO Canada a while back, and he was explaining some of these things from his point of view and what a trustee does. But we were very eager to get you on to talk about some of those, the same things as well. Bankruptcy is really the end of the road, isn't it?
Is. I mean, it's there for a very good purpose, and certainly believe in the strength of the Bankruptcy Insolvency Act. But people do need to understand that it is a financial death. You really are saying, I cannot manage now in a reasonable period of time to resolve my debt situation. Therefore, I do not have any other options.
Yeah, and that's when you come to that the problem, though, is in knowing when to come to that realization. That's how you guys try to help, isn't it?
Exactly. I mean, it never hurts to go to a not-for-profit credit counseling service such as ours and just get an opinion as to whether that is an option you need to consider. The counseling's free, and at least you can look at all options. Some people, because of their situation, may think they're bankrupt when in fact they're not.
Yeah. Well, how do you give us some indicators? How do you know?
Well, first of all, you've depleted most of your assets. So your ability to tap in on your RRSPs or you've sold your home or whatever assets you may have been depleted trying to pay for your lifestyle or to try to resolve your debt situation or to make ends meet.
Right.
That's one. So your debt exceeds your assets considerably because you really have depleted them. You're finding you can't make the minimum payment on your credit cards and your loans, et cetera. You make your obligations on your loans. And as a result, they've gone into significant default. You may be facing a garnishment on your wage because you have been sued by a creditor for your inability to pay.
And then you've got people calling you all hours of the day.
You've got people calling you all. You're getting awful letters in the mail, and you've got people calling you day and night. And the stress, unfortunately, is so surmountable for these. It's so huge for these people that they really feel that they need the relief of a bankruptcy to try to start their life over again, to give them some type of an opportunity for rehabilitation, which is what the Bankruptcy and Solvency Act is intended to do.
Yeah, but people probably come to you and say, I need to declare bankruptcy, and you might look at their situation and say, well, no, you don't.
Exactly. I mean, there's a lot of things that need to be considered. There's something called surplus income, for example. And if you make over a certain amount of money, you're going to be required to pay into your bankruptcy for up to 21 months.
Uh-huh.
And it could be that you pay as much as you have outstanding in your debt, depending upon what you're required to pay.
So you're worse off in both cases. Then you're still paying off the debt, and you're also bankrupt.
Yeah, exactly. So it's not necessarily a good strategy. You may have a student loan. You think, I can't continue the student loan, but you're not going to be discharged from that student loan for 7 years. From the date of leaving school or finishing your program. There could be undischargeable debts such as fines or support payments and things like that.
Well, I think people have that impression that if they declare bankruptcy, all bets are off and they owe nothing.
Yes, and I can understand that it's just a natural reaction to a very stressful situation. And it's very, that's why you want someone who's kind of, that is kind of objective. They can see the whole picture, look at other options that are available to you. You know, you may think, oh, my God, I can't afford to continue living this way. But maybe you're paying $1,000 a month for car expenses that you really be using public transit and then therefore have that extra money for paying off debt. There's often options that can be considered.
But as I say, people think, well, bankruptcy ends everything, and we call it, as you say, a financial death. But your liability to some of your creditors might continue.
It certainly might. Certainly, ones where the debts are secured, ones where they're not dischargeable for whatever reasons. And there are certain professions that you can't continue to operate or practice if you are in a state of bankruptcy. So that's another consideration people need to take in.
What happens in a bankruptcy, say, to your possessions? What are some of the things to keep in mind about that?
There are certain rules by province. I mean, in Ontario, for example, you're not really allowed to have an asset in your home. So if you sold your home today, after your legal expenses, et cetera, you had $20,000 left in the, equity in that home. Well, guess what? That money is going to go to pay your creditors off.
Right, right.
That money is not intended for you. It's to pay your creditors off. So any asset in your home will be not allowed. You're allowed, some tools of the trade, I think up to $11,000. You're allowed clothing up to a certain amount. I mean, clothing is very hard to put a finger on anyway or a number on anyway. Nobody really wants your clothes. Your creditors certainly don't want your clothes generally.
Yeah.
You're allowed to have a car up to about $5,600 or so. So, not a great car, just a, run-of-the-mill, bit of an older vehicle.
I bet we call them beaters, I think, yes.
Beaters, that's more appropriate term.
And what about what about my bed? What happens to it?
You're allowed that,
right?
You're allowed furniture up to about $11,000 because, again, how easy is it for a creditor to take away your furniture and realize any income on that or any resolution on that? But the one thing to consider, though, Dale, is that they also look at your history. So let's say an individual thinks, well, you know what, I'm going to go bankrupt, I think, in about 6 months, but I'm going to rack up a bit of debt before I go bankrupt. They're going to look at your history to see if you've done anything that appears to be, planned.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's something that people need to consider.
Do something like that, you may wind up not discharged. You'll still be paying.
Exactly. And creditors are quite apt to oppose a discharge if they think there's been any fraudulent or unusual activity.
Yeah, yeah. So then really, if you can possibly do it, the best thing is to avoid the bankruptcy altogether. I mean, that when you say financial death, man, oh, man, that's really it, isn't it?
It is it. But, I tell you, after being in this position for many, many years, there's a great feeling of success for people that are able to work their way through a debt, and they are such they're so much more able to manage their money in the future if they've had to work through such a significant issue and repay their debt. At the same time, I will tell you, Dale, there are individuals, they struggle for so many years trying to do the right thing, trying to pay their debt, and bless them for doing that. But it is just such a hardship for them that bankruptcy really is the best option.
In some cases, it's inevitable, I guess.
It is. But you got an 80-year-old woman who, owes $20,000 in credit card debt. Well, guess what? It's going to take her, 10, 12 years to pay that back?
Yeah.
Oh, it doesn't make sense.
But there are situations, are there not, and we've talked about this in the past, where Credit Canada might be able to go to creditors and work out some kind of repayment plan that would be affordable?
Exactly. And certainly we could work out a repayment plan that could be affordable so that the interest is stopped. So they're not, that's the big challenge. They're not continuing to accumulate interest on interest.
Yeah.
And their payments are reduced. And we work with them to help them learn to manage their money and learn money management skills. So they have an emergency fund that they start to build. So they understand how to set goals and to work towards a stronger financial position in the future, so they don't find themselves relying on credit when a crisis strikes.
Well, what are your parameters for what kind of deal you can work out at Credit Canada? You can bargain to have the interest removed, but not the amount owing. Is that kind of where it is?
Yeah, generally. I mean, we have been able to, sometimes have the amount of the owing reduced.
Yeah.
But that's a hard battle because a consumer proposal, which is under the Bankruptcy and Insolvency Act, usually offers a percentage of the debt to a creditor. So maybe say 50% of the debt will be repayable to the creditor under very specific circumstances,
right.
And that's a legislated act under the Bankruptcy Insolvency.
Well, that's something a trustee would do.
Exactly.
Right.
Now, there's
okay.
a lot of debt settlement companies out there. They'll say, don't pay your debt. You pay 50%, pay 30%, pay 20%. We can help you. I don't know a creditor that accepts those programs.
Well, they won't go anywhere near those people, will
exactly.
they?
Exactly. So I don't know how. I'd say loud and clear, if you see these ads or any of your listeners see these ads for, these debt settlement companies offering, these grand schemes where you can get out of paying most of your debt, run. So it's not going to work. The creditors will not accept that.
Well, the point is they want money up front on a monthly basis in order to handle your case, and then you might find out months down the road that nothing has happened at all.
Exactly. And the money up front that they're asking for are usually fees.
Yeah.
So we see people in here that pay thousands of dollars, literally thousands of dollars in fees, and not had any resolution on their debt.
And these companies seem to be everywhere now. Are these companies growing because a lot more people find themselves in credit problems?
Yeah, it's like anything else, isn't it? It's like anything else where there's misery, there's those who'd like to take advantage of that to a certain
Well,
degree.
When the market is created, somebody wants to come along and take advantage of the market.
Exactly. So I know that the Ministry of Consumer Services is looking into this practice.
Yeah.
In some other provinces in Canada, the practice has been reduced because of legislation that they can't operate in those provinces.
Well, it's the upfront payment thing, isn't it? Isn't that
That's
how
right.
other provinces went at it?
That's right. The other provinces have legislated is that until the service has actually been performed, so until the settlement with the creditor has actually been performed, you cannot take fees.
Yeah, but that's a huge...
Because they don't do it.
Yeah, well, then they're not going to get any fees, right?
They don't get any fees.
Because the creditors are going to say when they knock on the door, who the heck are you?
Yes, yes. And, I've talked to several creditors, several major banks about this issue, and they all say that they will not accept programs under these circumstances.
Yeah, yeah.
Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740, Zoomer Radio.
Laurie Campbell is my guest. She's the CEO of Credit Canada Debt Solutions. Laurie, are you seeing more credit problems involving older Zoomers? You mentioned a woman earlier, I believe, in her 80s. Are you seeing more of that, of people of that age having their own credit problems?
You know, Dale, unfortunately, that is a growing population. I mean, and it's very, these situations are very sad because people are generally on a fixed income as they get older.
Yeah.
You know, the ability to get back into the workforce is not really possible for a lot of them, and they're helping their children, which is one of the reasons they might be in trouble or just, you know, the high cost of living. But there's no doubt there's a significant increase in elderly people that are experiencing severe debt problems and have very few options as to how to resolve them.
So in those cases, I think you said this earlier, in those cases, those people really have no choice but to declare bankruptcy.
It certainly may be the only option
yeah.
that they have. You know, I mean, unless they have some asset they can fall back on. But unfortunately, in some cases, that's not possible at all.
Yeah, yeah. Let's take some calls. Here are the numbers, by the way, 416-360-0740. Or 866-740-4740. Don's on the line. Don, do you have a question for Laurie Campbell?
Well, I have a comment, Laurie and Dale.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was going through a divorce, and I was looking at bankruptcy or consolidation, and I called the Montreal, I guess it's BMO, Bank of Montreal directly, and I was able to make a settlement on the credit card balance.
Yeah.
Probably got 30 or 40% off.
Well, and you did it all by yourself, right?
I said, this is all I have, and I'm moving on, and you can have this, or you can have the fight for later, and they actually accepted it.
So
that's fantastic.
That's great. Jeez, that's wonderful.
Surprised.
Yeah.
Yeah, Don, you know, that's fantastic. And I think there's a really good message out there for people that, you know, you don't run away and hide from your creditors. I mean, you can work out some amazing deals as long as you are being honest, you're being upfront, you're prepared to give them information if they ask for it so that they understand that you really are trying to do what you can do to resolve the situation.
Thanks very much.
I didn't want to run away from it to the point where they're going to come after me.
Yeah.
I said, I was a customer of that bank for quite some time, and I said, this is a situation. I really like to give you this much, and that's all. And they talked for a few days or a week, and they came back, and they said, and I did keep a copy of it, and I still have the copy 8 years later.
Yeah, it's a good thing to keep. Yeah, that's a very good point, Don. Keep the copy.
I kept the copy of the statement, and the guy said, yeah, you send that money in, and it's all done, and we're clean. I said, okay.
Whoa.
But I still have it, my file.
All right, Don. Thanks very much. Yeah, people think when they're in credit trouble that the last people they would call would be the creditor, and that's not always the best policy, right?
No, in fact, I would go the opposite way. I think you should always keep the creditor informed. In fact, some of these debt settlement companies kind of prey on the fact that the creditor is the enemy and, you know, you got to avoid them. And that's not the case. I think you should always, whenever possible, communicate whatever you can to the creditor. One of the biggest complaints that creditors have is that they don't hear from people when they're in trouble, so they don't know what's going on.
And if they don't hear from you, you get assigned to a bill collector, and then you've got a real problem.
Exactly. They don't know what's going on, so immediately you end up in collections.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, here is Rudy on the line from Toronto. Rudy, do you have a question?
No, I have a comment to make. Twice I've gotten calls with recorded messages saying an urgent message about your credit card. There is currently no problem with your credit card, but if you'd like to reduce your debt, then press 1.
Oh, yeah.
And I've done that, and then after talking to the fellow, they always ask you for when is your expiry date first before they ask you for the credit card, because they start talking about how long it'll take you to pay off and so on, so they'd like to know your expiry date.
Well, that's just a pure and simple scam. That's all that is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure, because your expiry date has absolutely nothing to do with repayment of your debt.
No,
I think that it's a complete scam.
Yeah, and then they want your credit card number, and I managed to find out that the fee is $600, and they say that that's not a problem because they'll reduce your debt, your interest so much that you'll save more than $600.
So then you give them your expiry date and your credit card number and $600.
Yeah, that's the kind of stuff they want, and they also tell us that the creditors love dealing with them. Like, geez, that's why they like dealing with us, because we're so efficient and we're so good at keeping records, and we do such a good job. So, you know, but I haven't gone in for
you
that.
You didn't fall for that,
yeah,
did
I'm glad
you? No.
You didn't, because you know what? They're
thanks, Rudy.
Your credit
very much.
Card, the $600, which is kind of a bit of a joke, considering they're trying to reduce your credit card.
Well, and that's right, and they have all the information to charge your credit card, but they also have your credit card. I'd be uncomfortable with them having my credit card number and expiry date. I don't know where that's going to go, you know?
Exactly. That's got its red flag written all over it.
Yeah, it certainly does. Here's Jean calling from Etobicoke. Jean, do you have a, what would you like to say to Lori?
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
I am 64 now, and I had to declare bankruptcy. I had to make a choice, and I got in at the seven-year point before they changed it to 21. So, I'm sorry, at the 6 month for bankruptcy. Now, the problem is, if you retire and you have equity, and your spouse loses his job, and then you're hit with a recession, and then nobody will hire you because of the recession. You're not just 35 with an MBA or whatever.
Yeah.
All the jobs are paying, and I've got all the credentials to get a good job, but any of the jobs that I went to in the private sector, they are horrible to you. They treat you terribly with disrespect. And I was fired because after 3 days, I was not picking up the computer quickly enough, and I taught computers. So the problem with the having to make that decision of bankruptcy when you're in your 50s and you had equity is that over the years, if your spouse loses a job and gets stuck with as an executor for a long time and then can't work, and then you're stuck. I would die having to pay. And the problem is, if you take money out, you liquidate your RRSPs, you get dinged so much by taxes by the government. And if you don't pay the government, man, you are going to be harassed like crazy. And they garnish you. And garnish your pension.
Nobody's worse than the government collecting money that the government is owed.
That's why I am so ticked off with all these blatant overspending of the government, and yet the little guy, the middle-class guy that's been working so hard to build equity, when they have a problem in their life that causes, or if you become very sick, let's say somebody has cancer, or if you break your leg and you all these extra fixtures to get around, are you have to pay for them.
Well,
It's so tragic, and you know, I think you have a really sad story because you did everything right. You had some equity in your home, and you know, it's scary out there right now for many people with the uncertainty in the job market, and how hard it is to get back in if you do lose that job at an age anything over 50. I think it becomes harder and harder to get back into the market.
Yes, it most definitely. And there is a stigma. And I listen to the Zoomer show, this show all the time, and Dan's great. But there's so much promotion out there for Zoomers that have the good life. Well, I can't handle looking at it because I had that all planned. And the government, I would never be able to pay that money back. Never. Yeah. And I only had a couple of credit cards, and I always paid them, and credit union always paid them. And the other stigma you said is like your quality of life. Your friends don't believe it's that bad out there to get a job. Your family criticizes and judges you for why did you have to file for bankruptcy, and they don't know what it's like until they walk in your shoes. And that is such an old expression, but it is absolutely
true, isn't it? Gene, thank you very much for your call. The stigma is still there attached to bankruptcy. That's Gene's message.
Yes, it is. It certainly is. And poor Jean, she tells a very honest story. And I think that there's a good point again, though, that the government is relentless. I mean, if you have any, they don't have to go through any court system to garnish your wage. They can just suddenly, it's just suddenly done. So people be very careful about owing back taxes to Revenue Canada.
How about seizing your bank account, too? That's
seizing your
good.
Bank account. They can attach to your pension. There's so many things they can do.
Yeah, but the same rule would apply, wouldn't it? That if you... if you're having some kind of a problem where you owe Revenue Canada money, the first thing you should be doing is calling Revenue Canada because they have all these fairness policies and blah, 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 this and that and the other thing. They will always listen to you, and you certainly won't make it any worse by talking to them.
You know, and that's exactly true, Dale. I mean, they have these this methodology where they have first letter, second letter, third letter, and by the time they get to the third letter with you without any communication, well, they're a little ticked.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you got to talk to them. Pick up the phone as hard as it is and communicate.
Well, that would be part of your role at Credit Canada, wouldn't it, dealing with Revenue Canada from time to time?
Exactly. We certainly help people, communicate with them to write letters on to the Fairness Committee so that they can get some relief on interest and work out a repayment plan so that it's not as taxing as trying to come up with money all at once. But what Revenue Canada also wants to know is that this is not an ongoing problem. If you're self-employed, you've got to put the money aside to pay for taxes that are ongoing, not just the back taxes that you owe.
And imagine you're one of those credit companies and you've taken money from somebody and one of your big creditors is the Canada Revenue Agency. I mean, that thing's going to go on and on. They're not going to contact Revenue Canada, and you're going to wind up in worse shape. Your relationship with the CRA is going to be even worse.
It will be. It will be absolutely destroyed. So, you know, that's something I would imagine. I would like to think that they would tell you they can't work with, but, you know, I imagine they say, well, you know, anything's possible. But with Revenue Canada, it's not true.
Laurie, thank you very much for explaining some of this to us. It's reasonably complex and very worrisome, I think, for a lot of people.
It is. It's a very big decision for many, many people.
Thanks very much for your time.
Thank you, Dale.
Okay, bye.
Take care.
Bye. Laurie Campbell is the CEO of Credit Canada Debt Solutions, talking about the scary end of the debt when you get into a situation where perhaps you need some help and paying a company up front several hundred dollars or more to look after your credit problems might not be the right choice. Doug Jones told you that a few days ago. He's a trustee in bankruptcy at BDO Canada, and we hear the same thing today from Laurie Campbell.
Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740, Zoomer Radio.